Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Championship Check-In podcast after round 44, which is generally known as squeaky bum time in the season, Sam. Although I'm starting to know it as Ben's bad maths time. You just spend the entire time trying to add up permutations of league tables. We've waited until Tuesday for the entire round to be completed. And we are live on YouTube. Get your comments in. Sam will maybe take some questions if we don't babble too long. But there is a lot to talk about. So I'm not even going to bring him in. We're going to go straight to Parkin's pick. Welcome, Sam.
Hello, mate.
Where are we starting?
Oh, we're going to go straight in with two big wins at the top. Leicester over West Bromwich Albion and that majestic game of football last night at the Riverside. Leeds 4-3 winners at Middlesbrough.
So it feels like Leicester and West Brom was a long time ago.
I've got
to stand up for Leicester because I was hearing the word luck, which I've hated. Just so hard to win at this point of the season. They got over the line. Last night, I was on a blooming call from 7:30, so I've only seen the highlights. So convincing either of these two, or are we in that stage of the season, to quote the great Brian Clough, just win?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and that's doing a disservice to West Bromwich Albion, who we know, I was about to say, they're a dangerous side. And I think that encapsulates them quite well because they're so well coached. And I think they got really good athleticism. And I think they exposed Leicester at times. You know, interesting to see Cody getting a rare start. I thought that was interesting. Obviously, Choudhury probably attracts more criticism maybe than any other Leicester player in for Ricardo Pereira, but made three goal-saving clearances on
what
the line.
So
there was a game early part of the season where they were at Norwich, and it was when Jonathan Rowe was absolutely flying. Do you remember? And I just was a bit fearful that him in that kind of inverted fullback role would possibly struggle when the ball got transferred and it becomes, you know, a bit old school winger up against fullback. But he absolutely coasted that night. Probably one of the first times I've seen Choudhury up in the flesh. He was really good, on the ball, tenacious. Again, I've read varying reports on how all the Leicester fans have responded to his performance the other day. So there was some bad along with the good. But they came through. They got the win. Him and Cody in the side. See, Vardy missed the penalty in the first half. But, you know, West Brom had a series of opportunities, didn't they, before they were able to get themselves a goal. That's the stage of the season. There's a little bit more freedom probably about West Brom, even though they need a point or two, or maybe even a win to be assured. But it was nervy. It was nervy for the Leicester fans and nervy for the Leeds fans last night. But huge credit again to Middlesbrough, who I think have scored five times against Leeds this season. Incredibly watertight in the main. And they're having a real good go at the moment, Middlesbrough. And I think when I covered them about, 2 months or so ago, I said to you, they're just good fun, Middlesbrough. And maybe at the Riverside, there wasn't an abundance of goals early part of the season. There certainly has been latterly. And they are just good fun. They have a go. They attack. They've got some really good players. They're a bit short in a few areas. And along with the Coventry lads, that's maybe the informed player in the division in Latte La. So they came through. Again, like, you know, Leeds played a lot more on the counter last night. You know, they allowed Middlesbrough to have a lot of the ball. And that can be a dangerous game.
One of Leeds' best performances this season was away at Leicester playing on the counter, wasn't it?
Yeah. They closed down the game, didn't they? And allowed very few chances on their goal. So yeah, it was an amazing game. Some brilliant goals. Changed my mind about 15 times on Worldie of the Week. What else did I pick out? At seventh time, they have conceded first and gone on to win. Leeds this season, and that's a match now for Ipswich. Ipswich have done the same. Ipswich have actually gone behind, I think, 18 times and have only lost four of those games. I mean, that is incredible bounce back ability, as Ian Dowie once said. So yeah, Leeds showed a lot of spirit, but they showed their class in their in the forward positions again. Ruta for the penalty. How many times have we seen something akin to that this season? Getting it, wriggling, getting turned. Dyke still had a bit of a stinker for a couple of the goals, but everything that was good about Ruta in that, and everything that was good about Somerville this season in that goal, the fourth goal, which was a brilliant finish. So great game. Credit, huge credit to Middlesbrough for having such a go, but Leeds' quality just showed out.
It did. And we'll talk about this with the remaining fixtures. If you're a Leeds fan now, you probably rather would play someone like Middlesbrough who's going to have a go than someone who's going to sit behind the ball. If you look at the games Leeds are lost as well, I think that's probably borne out. We'll touch a little bit on Southampton when we, because obviously we're recording this. If you're listening on the audio, we're recording on Tuesday lunchtime. There was no good time to do this show, but tonight, obviously, Southampton go to Leicester and Saints' crazy defeat at Cardiff. I would say similar to the Ipswich defeat there, but Saints had way more chances than Ipswich did, didn't they, Sam?
Yeah, that was mad in the first half. The one that, was it David Brooks tried to walk in?
Yes.
It's just incredible. And yeah, Cardiff had got to be one of the youngest benches, or the, you know, so many youngsters involved in that squad, so you wouldn't have foreseen that happening. So yeah, just one of those things, I think, similarly to how we responded to when Ipswich were beaten there. Sometimes you just got to take it on the chin. I'm not entirely sure Russell Martin could have done anything differently. He went with the majority of the guys that have been getting success over their long unbeaten runs this season. Didn't change things really till 65-70 minutes, I don't think. Tried to just shuffle the pack, but it can happen, can't it, if you don't take your chances. So tonight's massive. The amazing thing, they've still got half a chance if they go and win at Leicester tonight, which seems incredible. It just changes so quickly. So much so that a nursery drop-off this morning, in my head, I was about to tell a dad that QPR were mathematically safe. But I think on Sunday morning, they pretty much were, weren't they? Then Sheffield Wednesday go and win. And
we'll
it's all
to
just...
that.
Thrown back in the mix. So yeah, I'm a little bit lost with it myself, but obviously I think the rule is don't discount anyone until I read it in print somewhere.
There you go. Let's have a look at this then. So massive win for Leicester, Sam. Leicester now, if they were to beat Southampton and Leeds were to lose to QPR on Friday night, Leeds would not be able to catch Leicester. And of course, Southampton, because they would be losing to Leicester tonight, would also not be able to catch Leicester. So Leicester would be up in that scenario over the weekend. They need a favour from Leeds to do it that quickly. When it comes to Leeds now, if they were to beat QPR, Sam, the goal difference basically means Ipswich would need to then win both of the first two games of the three-game week to go into the final day in front of Leeds United. They're putting the pressure on Ipswich. We said about the three-game week to end the season, it's looking with what Leeds are doing that they're going to have to score 9 or 7 points, depending on what happens on Friday night at Loftus Road. Southampton, I mean, we've said this for about 2 months, Sam. They need a winning streak. But as you just mentioned, if Southampton beat Leicester and beat Leeds, have to beat Stoke in between, they would be on 93 points and Leeds would only be able to score a maximum of 93 points as well. So there's a potential to tie there and certainly a potential to put the spanner in the works. Feels like the pressure's bang on Ipswich now, doesn't it, Sam?
Yeah, possibly. You know, again, though, their outcome, not decided by tomorrow night, but it could have a bearing, couldn't it? Coventry against Hull City. So we'll know a lot more about their mindset, how they're likely to approach the game when we know what that result is. It could play wonderfully well into their hands before possibly the second game against Coventry. Especially when you throw Huddersfield at home in the mix on the final day of the season. So I'm sure they've used the time wisely, I'd rather be recharging my batteries probably in a Champney somewhere with the squad rather than playing high pressure games that Leicester and Leeds have had to undertake the last few days. So I still see it as a bit of a bonus that they've had a little break, but they come back with a huge game against Hull. But who knows? It's going to be fascinating. QPR Leeds Friday night. I'm going to be there.
Are you working?
I don't know if QPR... I don't know if they take the point now. I just think there's going to be twists and turns in the top three as well. I don't think probably any of these sides are going to be immaculate. The last month has shown us that. So I would be very surprised if we're sitting here in a fortnight's time and any one of the three sides has taken maximum points. That's my hunch.
Talking about immaculate, Sam, we said a few weeks about Southampton that, oh, if they get this done, standing ovation. I have to say, if either Leeds go back-to-back in away games, Monday night, Friday night on TV and take 6 points, or Ipswich take 9 points from a three-game week with that pressure on, be a hell of an achievement for either at this point now, wouldn't it?
Feels unlikely, doesn't it? I mean, even Leicester, if they were to win tonight, I'd fancy them to go to Preston and win. Blackburn at home could be a colossal game. Blackburn could still need something then. That all of a sudden becomes increasingly difficult for them. But yeah, I'm with you. You know, Leeds didn't score for two, did they? And then they've churned out that performance last night. They were looking a little bit indifferent. And Ipswich have shown over the last few weeks, you think of that Watford draw, the Middlesbrough draw at home, nothing can be taken for granted. And they've got two teams who potentially, I think they've got to win all their games, Hull and Coventry, probably to get in. But it's achievable, isn't it? I think Hull won...
No, because they play each other.
They play each other? So no, I'm saying...
They can't both win. For what are you saying? For one of them to get the players? Yeah.
So, and I think they had that little flurry, didn't they, have away victories, ran about a month or so ago, Hull. So it's achievable. And also they're relying on, results going their way as well, above them in the table. But I can't see it, to be honest. I think they'll be drop points and I think we'll be going into the last... I think we'll probably be going into the last day with one position for two. I think someone will probably be up, Leicester.
I think I agree with you. I've got to say, and I hate myself for saying this as an Ipswich fan, I think if QPR and Leeds, I think if that's an away win for Leeds, I think it's too hard for Ipswich at that point then. I think, you know, going through that last week with that pressure on, with two away games and I take your point, Sam, that potentially the intensity of Hull and Coventry gets lower and lower depending on what happens. And also, potentially, Huddersfield could be down. But you've still got to score those 7 or 9 points. And if Leeds go perfectly and Ipswich gets 7 points, Ipswich will miss out on goal difference. So the standard Ipswich have to hit if Leeds can win at QPR on Friday just feels like it might be too much.
Yeah, it's probably one of those weekends where it's quite nice to play first, isn't it, for Leeds, if they can get the job done and just sit back and watch it play out on what will be Saturday and then the following Monday, isn't it, Preston? So, yeah, it's a massive game on Friday. I don't really know what to expect. I mean, you know, QPR have probably used so much energy in getting that victory over Preston. It'll be interesting to see what type of QPR turn up. So many times probably over the last few weeks they felt that their job was done. So they need to get that intensity up and make it a really difficult night for Leeds. But yeah, the prize is on the line now, isn't it, for Leeds? And I just think those attacking players could have a say again. I think they could possibly be too strong. But we'll get onto that tomorrow.
We will. And with it being on a Friday night as well, it does actually change the narrative for QPR, because if it was on the Saturday, you're kind of in the mix of all the other games and a draw might have seen you right. Whereas QPR are kind of going to know on Friday night, win, and they're safe. Although in the same way, Leeds are going to know on Friday night, win, and the pressure gets absolutely piled on. The long and the short of it is that's a lovely conversation with loads of permutations. We haven't got the foggiest, but at time of recording on Tuesday, we'll know more in terms of Leicester and Southampton tomorrow. We'll clip that one out, Sam. So thank you, everyone, for their live comments. Get your comments in on this impossibly high standard championship promotion race. And we can relax a bit, Sam, and have some fun, because it's time for you to pick your worldie of the week. You sometimes say at this point, Sam, whether it was a vintage week or a not vintage week. Yeah. I think it's right down the middle this week. What are your thoughts on worldie of the week? Get your thoughts in. What was the best goal in the championship this round, guys? And I'm normally at pains to say, please don't just select the goal by the team you support because you're a fanboy. Away you go, Sam.
I thought it was a bog standard week until last night. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it catapulted into mediocrity, as you said, I would say. Now, listen, I'm not going to read out any of the comments. I'm going to give you my top four that I've just scribbled down yesterday. Yesterday, Liam Walsh was close with his goal for Huddersfield.
Huddersfield was gone by that point. I was going to ask you about that, Sam. Have you ever played in a game where one of the teams is just done?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, this time of the season, absolutely. Yeah, when you're going for something and they're not. Okay, so I'll give you a top three. In order. Third, Somerville. Okay. Two.
I just count Somerville because he scored that goal 100 times this season.
So, I suppose. So nice passing move, though. Nice little great move up the pitch, down the left-hand side. Okay, I'm not even going to distinguish which goal I'm going for here, but Latte Lath in second.
Oh, surely the header, Sam. Come on.
Yeah, but the dummy for Ampadu was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And this geezer didn't even feature on the shortlist you sent me. Windass. Josh Windass would
it says
be...
Windass, oh, did you said it? I've got it in front of me. So, Stan, what I loved about Windass's goal is how he sorts his feet out and he comes across the ball from right to left. And it's a cushion, half volley, 35-yard lob, barring in as well. The keeping's rubbish, but it's a brilliant goal by Windass.
Yeah, but it's half a mistake from the goalkeeper and it's half a mistake from the centre-half or the full-back. He's still got time to take the touch and then hook it down the line or put it into touch. So, yeah, it's the margin for that is so small. Do you know what I mean? He's got to execute it perfectly. The goalkeeper probably gets it if it's a yard underneath the crossbar. So to just clip the underside just shows you how immaculate it was. Amazing technique. Yeah, loved it. Loved it. You kind of got to put aside that it's a bit of a goalkeeping error, a bit of a cock-up, and just look at the execution of the strike. Thought it was amazing. That would be my winner this week, but probably the individual award, considering he got two of them, would be Latte Lap. But
The team award would go to Stoke for three pretty six out of seven out of ten goals.
Can anyone
on YouTube find Sam Parkin scoring a long range lob from anywhere? Any in your locker?
No. A few little dinks going in, nothing that I can remember. Nothing I can remember like that. No. I got a few from outside the area at the county ground, but few and far between. I reckon three or four outside the box in my career.
Stick your foot through it, yeah?
A couple, yeah. Well, I like the in off the right hand side bend with the left foot. I like that one. Who got one like that the other day? A bit, Cole Palmer, that type of thing. You know, the way he finished the other day, a bit like that. Yeah, I like those
lovely
ones.
Stuff. Right, we are going. We're going to go slightly away from the championship, but involving the championship always for our meltdown moment. An incredible performance by Coventry City. Did the EFL proud, Sam? And we can probably have about 18 different meltdowns in this game. Manchester United's collapse, the VAR decision, and perhaps some of the behaviour of the Manchester United players, not necessarily winning with great dignity as well. Before you go on to the actual meltdowns, big shout for Coventry. They did us proud, didn't they?
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? Yeah, so much so that we were visiting friends on Sunday, and, you know, it started off, obviously, kids on the trampoline and playing various sports, and us sitting having a drink and nice bit of cake. And then all of a sudden, everyone surrounding a TV, you know what I mean? Kids of all ages, we were all there. And when the fourth goal that wasn't went in, we were in the garden, all of us doing Ravenelli's. Doing Ravenelli's, screaming our heads off. Yeah. all sorts going on. I don't think I've celebrated a goal like that, you know, for so long. It was an amazing moment. There was something in the back of my mind. I did think, you know, when it was playing out live that it was offside. I did think that that was my natural reaction. And obviously it was a lot tighter than I thought it was. But such a shame. Yeah, they were amazing. Just didn't really play for the first hour, did they? It took those changes. And we know that they're real, really flexible, you know, in the way that they can set up. You know, for so long, they were a back three, a back five, and a really, you know, well-drilled back five at that. But it just didn't work at the weekend. So immediately when he made the change to go back to the system that we've enjoyed watching them in this year, the 4-2-3-1, the all changes just worked a treat, didn't they? What was it? Binks, Tavares and Torp, the lad who turned the goal in. All of them were exceptional. That right-hand side just caused so many problems for Manchester United. All of a sudden, Hadji Wright on the counter looked incredible. Such a threat. Got in so many times. It was down the left, wasn't it, that the goal came from. The disallowed goal with what, Jada Silva, Hadji Wright, and obviously him to talk to finish. So, yeah, they were brilliant. Half an hour, extra time. Only one team looked like they were going to win it. I suppose Bruno Fernandes did crash one off the crossbar. But, no, I thought they were brilliant. And, you know, read so much great content on Coventry going into the game. Still a little bit, I always get a little bit disappointed when there's no mention of Adi Vivash. You know, I've said it on this platform many a time. Adi is a former teammate of mine and obviously a big part of the coaching there. So, you know, a lot of the style of play, a lot of the patterns will be down to Adi's coaching on the training ground. So, again, those two as a unit, him and Mark Robbins, brilliant, brilliant. And, you know, hopefully they'll have an opportunity to another really good job next year at having a go at getting out of the division if they don't make it this year, which is looking unlikely. But it would be fun, wouldn't it, to see Mark Robbins and Adi up sticks maybe at some point and have a go somewhere else, maybe in the Premier League. You never know. This won't have done them any harm. But yeah, I really like commentary, partly because Adi's there. A mate of mine's the kit man as well. Marshy, who I played with. So yeah, I always keep an eye on their results and they're one of the best teams to watch. So just gutted that we couldn't see them play City in the final. Would have been a much better final.
Maybe so indeed. We're going to pause there slightly on Coventry because we may well be talking about the playoff situation in the next segment. Let's move to our cause for concern. So this may not be of concern to fans of West Brom and Norwich. They'll quite like this scenario, Sam. But is the playoff chase even going to make the final day? We've got this huge game between Hull and Coventry, as you mentioned, on Wednesday night. Both of those sides could score 75 points. As we've said, only one of them will have the potential to do that after Wednesday. West Brom and Norwich already on 72. Does feel like whether it takes one game or two games that it is going to be West Brom and Norwich. But is there the potential for this to all be done before the final game of the season?
I think so. You know, the chasing two, Hull and Coventry will be hopeful that, you know, Swansea can continue this little upturn when they go to Norwich at the weekend. What, they've won three on the spin and not conceded. So it's conceivable, isn't it, that Norwich could get turned over. I think the more realistic proposition is that they win there and then there could be an enormous amount on the Birmingham City game for Norwich, final day of the season. So it's not all lost here, is it? But one of those two teams has to do their business in the game on Wednesday and then follow it up with a victory on Saturday to really heap the pressure on Norwich going to St Andrews in the final game. I think the reality is Norwich are hugely in control of this situation. We don't know exactly how extra time at Wembley, the disappointment, the inevitable few drinks is going to affect Coventry on Wednesday. I'm sure Mark Robbins probably would have tried to keep a lid on that. and in defeat, it's probably going to be easier for the players, actually, because they've come out of this as heroes, right? You know, this team will always forever be remembered, I think, in Coventry for what they achieved last year as well. And you know, there's been a few of these guys will be remaining from previous promotions, but you know, they were unbelievable at the weekend. They'll leave with enormous credit. Had they won that game, how difficult would it have been for Mark Robbins to turn them into focusing on a championship game when they're almost needing snookers? So maybe he could have given them a rousing speech afterwards, pats on the backs, and said, you know what, lads, let's use this as fuel, refocus, you know, because you're not going to have that. You're going to have the adrenaline, but you're probably not going to have the urge to go and party like you would do had they knocked Man United out of the cup. So we'll see. They'll probably be ready, is what I'm basically trying to say in a long-winded way.
So if I'm correct that even if it's not done by the weekend, that it's probably going to be West Brom and Norwich in fifth and sixth in whatever order, can you put them in order for me, Sam? West Brom go to Sheffield Wednesday, which may not be easy. That is going to be noisy at the weekend, but they play Preston at home, who, you know, have just dropped off after, you know, they're frankly not going to be able to make the playoffs anymore. Norwich, Swansea at home. Birmingham away, we're not sure. Birmingham could be in all kinds of trouble, needing something massive at that point. Or they could be, I mean, they're not going to be safe by then, Birmingham, because there could still be other teams involved, especially with Sheffield Wednesday. But I don't know. Feels like there's jeopardy on one of each of West Brom and Norwich's fixtures, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday is going to be a really tough game. I think they've had three draws on the bounce, maybe at Hillsborough. I don't think they've won in four there, in fact. So the performance level's still been good, but they've not been able to get over the line there. And all of a sudden, I wouldn't have said it was a free hit at Leicester, but there would have been a degree of freedom about West Brom's play. I think they need something. You know, there'll be a focus to go and get something at Hillsborough. I suppose looking at it as well, and I'm a little bit loath to do this, but goal difference could come into play. And you look at Norwich and Hull, there's a 8-goal disparity between Norwich and Hull. So, you know, even if Norwich are to lose one of those games, I think, yeah, Hull have got to expect them to probably win the other. So that's going to leave them on 75 points. And even if Hull get their maximum, they're not going to be able to do it. So, yeah, it's going to be heavily reliant on the results above. I think West Brom are too good a side to fall away now. I think the same about Norwich, to be honest. But for the show today, you know, I'd like to just probably focus on that game tomorrow night and say, you know, whoever wins that one, you know, that gives them an opportunity, doesn't it, to create something amazing.
Yeah, and you make a really good point about the goal difference. That could actually sort West Brom and Norwich in the end, because they're not separated on points at the moment. I just have some kind of feeling, we're doing the predictions tomorrow, aren't we, Sam? I think Norwich might overtake West Brom at the weekend. It could go the other way, depending on Birmingham on the final day, and maybe Norwich resting some players, probably having guaranteed playoffs, but yeah. Anyway, we all know that whatever happens, however far away they look, it's going to end up with either Ipswich third, Norwich sixth, or Ipswich fourth, Norwich fifth, to just guarantee that Ipswich-Norwich playoff semi-final.
Is this a stupid question? When would you rather play them? In the semi or at Wembley?
Probably at Wembley. So you don't have to go to Carrow Road, I think, and you can make it a one-off thing. But I'm doomed that Ipswich are never going to beat Norwich in the next millennium anyway, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
You'd probably rather the one-off game then, from that, if you're looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah, hey ho. Right, let's move on and we're going to be looking at the weekend's football. Going to move on to the mouth-watering matchup in just a second. Really quick pause for the cause, though, Sam, because our friends at Match Bingo have excelled themselves. If you can see my iPad, I need to speak round it to the camera. Both cards tonight are free. So you've got Arsenal and Chelsea up in the Premier League. There you go. I'm just getting my free card right now over on Match Bingo. Confirm purchase. There it goes for absolutely free. And the big one, which I'm sure all you lot are going to be across, is Leicester versus Southampton. And if my iPad doesn't waggle around like that, I can confirm my card there as well. So tonight on the watch along, I'm going to be playing along on Match Bingo, Leicester versus Southampton. And just a little example of the laughs we have. I need a goal in a minute ending in eight tonight for Leicester versus Southampton. Do get involved and head over to Match Bingo. You know the rules here, guys. The first one is please play responsibly. The second one is please let them know that Sam and I have sent you by clicking that there QR code. You can get involved tonight for absolutely free. Generally, though, if you want to win the big money, you're going to have to play one of the paid games, which are £2. Let's move on to our mouthwatering matchup. I mean, I'm going to read the fixtures out, Sam, but this one's an absolute shoo-in this weekend, isn't it? We'll ignore Leicester, Southampton and Coventry Hull because they're not really round 45 games. We've got QPR Leeds on Friday night, Blackburn Coventry, Bristol City Rotherham, it's Cardiff v Middlesbrough, Huddersfield versus Birmingham, Millwall Plymouth, Norwich Swansea, Wednesday West Brom, Southampton Stoke, Watford versus Sunderland and Hull versus Ipswich. Sam, it will surprise absolutely no one that we have to talk two games from the end of the season, 22nd versus 23rd, Huddersfield versus Birmingham. You would call this, Sam, absolute filth in the relegation zone. And I am here for it. Just talk to me about this massive matchup.
Probably would have been filth like a month, 6 weeks ago. I don't know if like tension can be described as filth. I mean, this is, yeah, just a colossal game, isn't it? And it could have been so different, I suppose. They could have been looking so much better. Certainly Birmingham, had they, one, been allowed that goal at Rotherham, the Stansfield strike. You'd probably say rightly disallowed for offside. The player was right in front of the goalkeeper, but he ain't saving it. So it's always a frustration. Miyoshi, I think, missed a good chance as well. So those 2 points would have been lovely for them. Huddersfield, I don't think it was a 4-0 against Swansea, albeit it took them, you know, a good while to get going in that game. I think Swansea started really fast, can dominate the ball. But they had chances, didn't they? I think Danny Ward had a big chance. Bergzog, have you seen that one when he had two players square and made a complete hash of it? So they had a few opportunities at 0-0, and that could have been so different. I can't separate these two now. This is just who can handle the pressure, who can handle the situation. I would say, and I think statistics back me up, you know, over the last 6-12 games, I'd say marginally, I think maybe Birmingham have a few more threats, bit more goal threat. You know, probably Stansfield's been in a decent little bit of form. Miyoshi, I spoke about Anderson and Roberts coming back into the reckoning the last few games, albeit Burke started for the first time since New Year's Day, I think.
Where did that come from?
I think he only lasted the half, didn't he? But
did he have him at Millwall, Rowett? Someone will tell me in the chat.
He probably would have done, yeah. Gary Rowett ran the marathon on Sunday, by the way. Did you see that?
I did not, no.
He ran it the year I ran it, actually. I remember seeing him. I think he's a serial marathon runner. But, yeah, so to counter that, Huddersfield are at home. Huddersfield have a seriously strong set-piece threat. They have a seriously good dead ball specialist in Thomas. So I just can't separate these two. I can't separate them to completely contradict what I said a minute ago. I mean, Birmingham haven't scored in 5 of the last 10. I think they've had 16 blanks this season, and I think Huddersfield have only failed to score in maybe 10 or 11 games. So there's a little bit of disparity there, maybe. obviously Birmingham on the back of a 0-0. I don't know. I will reveal all tomorrow when we do the predictions. I think it's a narrow victory one way or the other. I don't think this is probably a stalemate because it doesn't suit either. I think one team wins this. One team scores on edges in front and then defends their box for their lives. I think that's the way this game's going to end, with the ball being smashed into the air, the referee's whistle bellowing and players on the deck in celebration or despair. There you go. I've done a good job there, haven't I?
You're very good at your... You should be a film director, Sam. You're wasted being a footballer. You're very good with these narratives, aren't you? People are kind of asking in the chat in terms of how you would categorise it. And if you look at the numbers here, Sam, in terms of the points, we're guaranteed, and this is really interesting, we're guaranteed that someone goes on to a minimum of 47. And this is very rare in a relegation fight that you're guaranteed someone or both of 22nd and 23rd are going to score points. It does feel like if you lose this game, and particularly for Huddersfield, if Huddersfield lose, they are relegated, obviously, because Birmingham would go to 49 and then the next nearest team or two above would be Plymouth, and they couldn't catch them on 48. Huddersfield need to go above Birmingham and one other. It does feel like a draw. I mean, it's just prolonging everybody's agony. Does a draw almost consign them both a little bit? We got Plymouth going to Millwall. We got Sheffield Wednesday at home to West Brom. I mean, I guess we could get a situation, Sam, where we get the draw, we get defeats for Wednesday, Plymouth and Blackburn, and we literally go into the last day. And there could still be, obviously, Huddersfield wouldn't be able to catch Blackburn at that point. But is that the most likely scenario with teams down the bottom of the table that nobody wins?
Yeah, I think so. I think the hardest game, arguably, is still Sheffield Wednesday at home to West Bromwich Albion. I think all of a sudden, Argyle will fancy going to Millwall, given that Millwall are safe. I don't think that probably strikes the fear into Plymouth Argyle supporters and players and staff, as it may have done, you know, a fortnight ago, potentially having to go to Millwall with them fighting for their lives. So I think that does them a little bit of a favour. Blackburn at home to Coventry, if memory... No. Blackburn... Yes. Blackburn at home to Coventry. Again, that may... slightly be dictated by what happens with Coventry against Hull on Wednesday evening. But I don't know exactly what the points total is going to be now, but you know, I'm sticking, you know, with my probably prediction from a few weeks ago that it's going to be Sheffield Wednesday. Unfortunately, I've changed my mind on a lot of things recently. Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth, my two, weren't they, to drop in, which is looking really unlikely now. But I'm going to have to stick with those two for now. I don't think a point probably does either of these two any good. Just when the games are running out, you just want to get it done. You want to get it boxed off. Birmingham play Norwich, if memory serves, final day of the season. Again, the way that I felt Gary Rowett was going to set the team up, and probably the home results were probably going to determine the outcome of the season. And that's what it's looked like, hasn't it? You know, a win over Preston, convincing win over Coventry. I'd fancy them, even everything I've said about Norwich, I'd fancy them to probably get something against Norwich on the final day, should it come to that. But they'll want to go to Huddersfield and get it done sooner, that's for sure.
Wow. And I suppose from the neutral, the idea that 22nd and 23rd are definitely going to get some kind of points on the board means there's no free hit for Sheffield Wednesday. I think I added it up as well, Sam, given that facet and the goal difference. If Sheffield Wednesday lose to West Brom, they're guaranteed to be back in the bottom three going into round 46, given points have to be scored. So, look... it's going to be a hell of a game at Huddersfield. That is our mouthwatering matchup. God, if you're a Huddersfield fan or a Birmingham fan, heading for that one. Wear one of those things that measures your heart rate on your app and let us know what a lovely day you have out. Right, get your thoughts in on the relegation zone in the chat. We are going to move on to, we're spuriously calling this player to watch because it's actually this week, Sam. It'll be manager to watch. Guess who's back? Back again. Steve Evans is back. Tell a friend. We're only going to have him for a couple of games at Rotherham, Sam. But very surprised. I thought Liam Richardson was all set up for, you know, League One and Rotherham. I watched the interview with Tony Stewart and he's quite damning, actually, of the squad and the Matt Taylor regime as well. He said, Rotherham aren't Rotherham anymore. They've stopped fighting in the way and being the great underdog that Rotherham have managed to be. And I say that with love. Don't get cross at me, Rotherham. Rotherham fans have been a brilliant underdog, punching above their weight for many, many years. The solution? Down to Stevenage, where he's done an amazing job, to be fair, Steve Evans. And he goes back to Rotherham, Sam. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Not surprised. Surprised at the timing. Absolutely. I really was astonished, actually, that, you know, Stevenage's playoff challenge had just subsided and that was him up in sticks and going back to Rotherham. So I was surprised at that. You're bang on. I think he's done a incredible job at Stevenage. You know, normally he's maybe had the backing. Certainly at Mansfield is one that jumps out, where Stevenage feels very different to that he's had to build a squad with probably not one of the biggest budgets in a division. So, yeah, I thought it was incredible. I saw them in League Two a few times, and this year I wasn't surprised at all when I saw the calibre of players that he was able to recruit to go into League One with him. So he obviously knows what he's doing. The Rotherham fans will know exactly what type of football, where they're going to be strong, their strengths, probably be a back three, probably be incredibly good at set pieces, will probably bring physical presence throughout the team. I say all this, and Rotherham fans may shoot me down on this, but I felt that, I don't know if Matt Taylor's directive when he went in there was to change the style, and I think latterly there probably wasn't great evidence of that. It probably was quite long ball, probably quite agricultural still, but I think during the early stage or maybe the middle part, I think he was trying to introduce a little bit more football. They certainly had changed to play a 4-3-3, if memory serves me right. And I think he was looking to get real athleticism in the side. And I think in time, he probably had his idea to make it a little bit different to what it had been under Paul Warne. Obviously, it didn't work at all. And I think Liam Richardson in his career has been quite simplistic in the way he sets his team up. And, you know, isn't afraid to be quite direct at times. To have pace, to be hard to beat. His Wigan side was a good side, but I thought they had good players. But they've not delivered, have they, under him? And he's not really delivered. An early part of this season, again, Rotherham fans come at me. They had some really, listen, they had very few, but they had some good home performances. I think they beat Coventry, beat Norwich. I mean, this is...
Drew against Ipswich and Leeds.
Yeah, push Leicester. 2-1, I think Leicester won there. There were some decent performances. So, you know, I just felt that maybe it was just quite early to change, and they probably would have got a few more points on the board. But yeah, Matt Taylor has to take responsibility, of course, for the games that he oversaw this season, and Liam Richardson's not been able to improve things. You expect there to be at least a little bit more fight and what have you. So going back to Steve Evans, it'll be more akin to what Paul Warne's side was about, and that's organisation, running forward, balls in the box, physicality. Unquestionably, they'll be in the shake-up for promotion next year.
They will.
Bigger question is, what does the owner want long-term? What do the punters want long-term? And what's it going to look like? Under Steve Evans, we know. Will they make a better fist of staying in the Championship if they were to get promoted again? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, there probably comes a time when Steve Evans gets him in the Championship, consolidates, and then he probably gets cherry picked again for a bigger so-called job. So it's a bit of a vicious circle, isn't it? But yeah, absolutely, to get them out of the division. I think they're much better set now, having Steve Evans, someone who's been at the club before, had two promotions, than they would have been, albeit with Liam Richardson, who'd been promoted before. Steve Evans is a sure bet. That's for certain in my mind.
I'm calling it now. Next season, Rotherham, what, under average of 30% possession, but they're going to score 85 plus points, aren't they? And we'll see where that gets them in League One. And maybe we can get some long-term Steve Evans back in the Championship the following season, where, whatever you say about him, he's terribly good value. Right, sharpen up your brains. It's time for the quiz and the week that was. Amazingly, me and Sam haven't waffled today, so we will be able to do some Q&A. If you've got any questions for Sam Parkin, or even for me, get them in after this segment. Sam, assuming we're going to go past the playoffs, this isn't over yet, but you are 18-15 up in the quiz, and I'm running out of weeks. Would you like to go first or second?
I don't like this at all. This is the first time I've looked at it. I don't like this at all, so I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I'll let you embarrass yourself first. Right. It's called OnlyFans this week. That's the
don't know what that reference is.
Only time I'm going to be saying that on a screen ever. My question for you, Ben, is how many fans were at the following fixtures at the weekend? You need to get the 1,000 amount on the nose.
Oh my
you got
God.
It?
That's difficult.
So not so if it's 40,000 something, all I need is the 40,000 for you to get your point. Okay.
Okay.
So you're gonna have five. All right. So how many punters were at Cardiff City v Southampton?
23,372.
How many punters were at Stoke against Plymouth, Argyle?
24,000. Oh, for God's sake, I was going to swear then and get us demonetized.
How many punters were at Norwich City?
28,000.
26,000.
Or at least that was 295.
How many punters were at Leicester City?
31,000.
He's on the board.
Yes.
And to finish, how many were at Middlesbrough against?
He's gone up and up, hasn't
Leeds.
He?
He might have done, or I might have just changed that up because I thought that was getting a bit too easy.
Yeah, okay.
How many were at Middlesbrough v Leeds?
In that case, 33 or 34. I'm trying to read your reaction. 33,000.
Sorry, mate. I've killed you. 29,000. I've played with your mind.
Oh, the mind.
Listen,
games.
Mate. One could be enough to win it. It's not a bad return, I'm saying.
Okay. Let us know how you did in the.
He won't be happy with me, will he? I've mixed that up there.
Right. Are you ready, Sam?
Yeah. Go for it.
Get the 1,000 number exactly. Right. How many were at Rotherham? You want the away team as well. It was Birmingham.
Birmingham. So they'd have taken what? They'd have taken five, wouldn't they? You think?
Four or five? No, it's not that big an away end at Rotherham, is there?
Oh, well, it surely it holds about. I haven't got a clue on that. I'm going to go for 18.
Mate. Stadium doesn't hold that many. 11,000.
Really? Sorry, that's a bad start, isn't it?
It's bodes well for a Ben win here. QPR, you should be able to get this one, Sam.
QPR used to hold 21, 22-ish when I used to go. I don't think it's anywhere near that anymore. I think it's 18 or 19. They played Preston, who wouldn't bring too many. 5-15. 17.
Oh, mate, that's unlucky. 16-4-6-4.
Oh!
Watford, and they were playing Hull.
Watford hold, bit of a dead rubber. couple of thousand. It's bigger than Rangers, surely. But are they filling it at the moment? Uh, 20.
18.
Huddersfield,
and it was a long trip for Swansea City.
You've gone up and up and up, though, haven't you, as well?
No comment.
Huddersfield can't have more than 18, can they, against Swansea? It's a big stadium. Nah, I don't know on that. I need one, don't I? It can't have more. 16.
It was another 18.
Ah,
mate. So,
is that it?
No, you got one more.
Oh,
this is a difficult one because there was a very big away following in this game.
Go on.
Blackburn versus Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, that's got to be more. Has it? Blackburn's a big gaff. It's got that rubbish stand over the far side. You used to see people walking down the front when they had Shearer and that. Is it? It's a big game. They had five.
Loads of Wednesday fans there.
20.
Oh, mate. 21,000. But Sam, it's good for the neutral list because even though you're pulverizing me in the predictions, that brings it back to 16, 18 in the quiz.
To be fair, I only had a stinker on the first one, didn't I? You had
Leicester.
31. Yeah. What a shout that was.
There you go. All you wise guys in the chat getting them all right. It's harder than it looks when you've got the.
That was hard.
You got the thank you, Fev, as well. I haven't plugged Fev. At Fev's Football on Twitter, X. Give him a follow. Lots of good Bristol City analysis and Championship analysis there. Right. If you have got questions, stick them in via the chat. We really enjoy doing these live, by the way, if you're listening on the audio after. We still love you listening on the audio. But if you want Sam Parkin to answer your question on the podcast, come and watch us live. I understand we're a lot of people are at work when we're doing it during the day, and we'll probably be middle of the day on Monday as well. But plenty of you here. Sam, this from Streaky. I really dislike the term bottled it. I also hate the term bottled it. But have you played, Sam, in a must win and one team just could not cope with the occasion?
Oh, I thought a two there just on the spot. Obviously not the enormity of promotion being on the line, but I remember a televised derby match for Swindon against Oxford, live on the Beeb, Sunday midday kickoff. Obviously, that's a big rivalry, and we just didn't turn up. And I don't know if it was bottled it. I think we just froze probably on the occasion, hardly had a shot. And the other one, so that was more of a freezing over situation. The other one was, do you remember the season? People probably, this might not mean anything. It would mean more now considering where the sides are. Luton against Bournemouth. We'd had a 30-point deduction.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they'd had 15 whipped off them, or maybe 20. And we played them in a relegation battle, you know, maybe March time.
Where was the game?
It was at Kenilworth Road. And again, we lost 3-0. So I think we lost 3-0. We're 3-0 down, it feels like, in no time. So again, not bottling, but just freezing. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's a different thing. It's players, I suppose, being able to deal with the occasion and stick to your game plan, because sometimes people lose that composure and you forget what you've been told in the days preceding it. So those are the two that just jumped out. I played in the playoffs, but, you know, normally, well, the playoff teams I played in, we turned up and played pretty well.
Annie, can we draw an investigation into the OnlyFans reference? You can investigate Mr. Dave Fev. That one is his reference. Shaney, can you see Norwich getting to the playoff final? I can, Sam.
So we're thinking they're going to finish sixth. So therefore, they're going to face...
They're going to finish fifth and beat Southampton in the semi-final.
Are they? So they're finishing sixth in my mind. Oh, God, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it to you, mate, but that would be horrible, wouldn't it? But then, that would be such a tense game against Ipswich if they were to face them in the semi. Can I see Norwich get into the playoff final? Yeah, I can, but I'd still make them, you know, I'd probably make them behind right now, whoever finishes third, and I'd put them behind Southampton as well, probably. So I'd maybe put them as, you know, if this is the way it was going to finish right now, in the betting, you'd probably have them as the outsiders, right?
Yeah, but everyone knows when Norwich get a sniff of promotion, they do it, don't they? This is a great question, Sam, from Dom. Is there such thing as being on the beach? Can I just have my say first before you give your professional opinion?
Yeah.
I feel this is one of those questions or one of those terms on the beach where, because it's intangible and unprovable, people just argue whatever suits their narrative. So if their team is coming up against teams that are, quote, on the beach, they'll say, oh, they're not on the beach. There's no such thing as being on the beach. It'd be a hard game. Or if the narrative's the other way around, they'll say, oh, yeah, they're definitely on the beach. It's an easy game. What does it mean to you, Sam? And is it a thing?
It's hard. I tried to articulate this the other day and got myself into a little bit of a muddle. You know, if you're playing against a team that needs a win to be promoted, per se, and you're 16th in the table, it's just subconscious, isn't it? And especially if you're away from home, the crowd's electric and the trophy's there potentially. You know, there's, if you're safe and you're already thinking about next season, are you going to fly into that challenge that could potentially mean you being on a doctor's couch having stitches? It's just that, isn't it? You know, it means more to the teams that are going for it. I played in sides that were probably just about safe from relegation, and you're playing against a team going for promotion. I mean, it's hard to match those levels if you've expended all that energy getting over the line in the previous game or two. You know, how are you going to expect those lads to have the same intensity? And that's what it's about, being on the beach. The flip side, and this is what I always tried to get into my mentality. People that watch me will probably disagree with this, but every time you step over the white line, right? Every time you went over the white line as a professional footballer, there might be someone watching in the stand who could buy you or be the chief scout for someone. You know, it could, one good performance in any game can turn it around for you or change the direction of your career.
Your personal standards, right?
Absolutely. No, but more like your future. You know, if you turned up and scored a hat trick in any given game, there's going to be someone in the stand that says we should sign him or we should maybe inquire about him next season. And also there's going to be a lot of players that haven't been getting minutes that will get minutes in these games. So they have that motivation that I was just talking about there, but there's also the unpredictability for the opposition. So on the beach can be a dangerous thing as well, because you've got lads that have maybe been out of the way that are playing for a contract or playing for a move, or maybe just been pissed off for the whole season and want to go out there and show people what they can do. So it can be dangerous, but of course, yeah, being on the beach, sometimes I think it's just that intensity is not going to be there in comparison to the team that's still got something to fight for.
And it's one of those ones, it's like world class or whatever. It's one of those debates where, because it was, you'll never truly be able to quantify it. It'll always just go round and round in circles. So there we go. Right, let's do a couple more here. We're trying to do these quickly, actually. What do you make of the Forest statement, Sam? I've had it myself where I've been on a stream and I've said an honest opinion about a tackle, you know, with no bias whatsoever. I've just said what I thought it was. And someone's come at me and said, oh, you're only saying that because of the team you support.
Yeah.
And I was enraged, mad. I can get it wrong. Yeah. I can have a bad idea, but don't call me a liar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. If anyone's listen to the Gary Lineker, Michael Richards, Alan Shearer podcast, my sentiment is quite similar to those guys. I mean, very few things in football make me question why I loved playing football. I loved it being my passion as a child. I love covering it now. It's something like this. And I understand that such big business, and it works in so many wonderful ways, helps people no end with mental health, you know, going to games, playing football, the social aspects, And obviously, if teams are relegated, people within the club can lose jobs. You know, you have to let go people in the background and what have you. But come on. Like, it's laughable, really. Laughable. And I hate all the conversations about VAR. I hate the content.
Well, they should have had a penalty. No one's debating.
Yeah, of course
that.
They should.
It's, and it's calling Stuart Atwell a cheat.
Come on. It's his professional. It's his job. It's his livelihood. Why on earth would that ever come into anyone's mind, let alone a collection of people? I found it ridiculous.
Last one, guys. Sorry, there was a QPR one here for you. There you go, quickly. Al, how come Sam is a big QPR fan? Is he local to the bush? We've gone back to this OnlyFans conversation. Move on.
Well, I'm from Barnes, which is just over the bridge, south of the river from Hammersmith. So I'm probably equal distance from Brentford, Fulham, QPR, Chelsea. My dad's a QPR fan. So, yeah, from late 80s. Yeah, take every home game, season ticket holder, passing it through the generations. That is the reason. He's from Lincoln, my dad, but when he came to London in the 70s, that was his adopted team, probably the late stage of Rodney Marsh and the early days of Stan Bowles. So that would be the reason.
There we go. Guys, thank you so much for joining us in big numbers. If you can leave a thumbs up before you go on YouTube, and if you're listening on audio, big thank you to all you guys and get 5-star reviews in and whatnot. Sam, do you want to have the last word and set up the predictions which are going to be coming in the afternoon tomorrow?
Predictions, let me look. I'm looking for my bonus point from Millwall against Plymouth Argyle. So I'll leave them with that and look forward to Friday night at the Loft against Leeds.
Spoiler alert, Plymouth win incoming according to Mr. Park. And we'll see you all tomorrow for the predictions. Thanks for watching.